while we were singing, I felt the Lord remind me of a time when, in a time of worship at Holy Trinity, very early on after I'd become vicar there, I just felt that little thought go through my mind that you think, oh, that's from the Lord. If ever anybody says the Lord spoke to me and you don't understand that, then it's not like big sort of on billboards or megaphones or anything. It's just a little thought that goes through your mind that over time you realise that's how God speaks. And so you will already have that experience, you just might not recognise it. And the thought that went through my mind as we were worshipping was the Lord saying to me, do I have permission to break your pride? I thought, oh. And then I immediately said, no. I said, that doesn't sound like fun at all, Lord. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm saying no at the moment. And then afterwards I processed it, and then I said yes. But as I processed this question, and you know that when the Lord asks you a question, he's not asking it you because he doesn't know the answer. He's asking it to get you to engage with the question. And as I engaged with it, I realized that what was happening was that I'd been entrusted with leading Holy Trinity, which was an amazing responsibility. It was the largest church in the Leicester Diocese by a long way and had a big reputation locally. And I'd begun to connect my reputation with what God did in the church. And I realized that as that had happened for me, that I was then becoming very concerned about the progress of the church, not just for God's glory, but for mine. And I realized just how wrong that was, and God was giving me the opportunity not just to repent of that, but to take clear steps to say, I'll do whatever you call me to do, Lord. And the reason that I share that is that what happened after that time at Holy Trinity was that we went on a journey that was very risky, in that we transferred from a model that was a pastoral model, and we're talking about this today, which is why I think the Lord reminded me of that particular incident, where church was really good. We were a church of 500 people. We had 30 small groups. We were looking after people, doing really, really good things. We felt God call us to move to a missional community model, in which we allow people to discern the call of God. And all I would ask people is, what are you called to do in the mission of God? And people would come and say, I think I should do this. And we'd work to create an opportunity for that. But that created a whole lot of mess and movement, and everything had been very ordered before, and it was painful. Change is painful for people. And when I spoke to the staff team as we were doing this, I said, I think that the image the Lord's given me is of that elastic band, that he's stretching us, but he doesn't want us to break. But our job as the people responsible for this is to enable the stretch, but to create the care and the support to enable that to be done well. And by God's grace, I think we did that fairly well. But we had 2 years where it was very, very painful. And it was really risky. And there were moments where I was saying to the Lord, are you sure this is okay? But I was willing to do it because I was absolutely convinced of the call of God. And if it didn't work, then my reputation would have suffered. But that didn't matter because I'd dealt with that. That had gone to the cross. That was on the altar. And as we get called forward in mission, there is all kinds of risk, all kinds of change, all kinds of pain. And we just need to come to a place where, out of what we've just been singing, we're just saying, I'll give it all, Lord. I'll surrender. It's a place of surrender. And I'll give it all to you, Lord, whatever it takes for me to contribute what you're asking of me to your glory, whatever it costs me. I lay it all down before you. And the journey that we've been on has been so joyful, has been so fulfilling, in seeing 20 missional communities form, in seeing 6 churches planted. Holy Trinity itself is probably about the same size. So we haven't built ourselves, but what we've given away has been incredible. And what God's done with us has been wonderful. And I wouldn't change any of it, but there were moments where we really had to hold our nerve, in which we have to come back to that place. Is it's all for Jesus, it's all from him. It's not our church, it's his, and we're allowing him to shape us. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And if you have a response to the text you sent, there's going to be an opportunity for you to share that. So just get ready for that. So if we could have the first slide up, Sam, that'd be great. Anybody know who this is?
Elliot Kipchoge.
Well done, Elliot Kipchoge. So as you know, I really don't like runners. I love sport, and this is probably the greatest long-distance runner ever. So he has won 2 Olympic gold medals in the marathon. He's won 8 World Marathon Major Championships. He's been a world champion. He's the world record holder at 2 hours, 1 minute, 39 seconds. 2 minutes would have been good, wouldn't it? Yeah. But what is on the screen is the moment when Elliot Kipchoge ran the marathon under 2 hours. It's not officially the world record because I'll explain how he did it. But there was this barrier, and the barrier was no human being can ever run 26 point whatever it is under 2 hours. It's incredible. When you do the maths of it, it's so many 100 meters run 17 seconds. It's so many 1 kilometers in sort of 2 minutes. It's incredible. It's absolutely phenomenal achievement. And everybody said it is impossible. And so he got together a group of people to say, how are we going to break the 2 hour barrier? He brought together the best long distance runners in the world, 35 of them. And they ran with him 35 pacemakers over those 26 miles in order to keep him going. They ran with a V formation in front of him to create the barrier to the wind and to create a drag effect. They thought everything through in terms of how to do it. And the result, and I love this photo because there's the sort of 7 of them that are with him on the last lap. They're looking fresh because they've only done a bit of it. He's done the whole 26 miles. But they're there and they're going, go for it, Elliot, go for it. You're going to do it. And he ran it in 1 hour, 59 minutes and 40 seconds. But look at what you can do together. On your own, when you're running competitively, nobody's broken that 2 hour barrier. But together in a team, they managed to run it under 2 hours. And they evidence everything we've been talking about vision, intent, and means. They thought, what's it going to take? How are we going to do it? And then they built a plan and they delivered it. And as we come together as God's people with the responsibility of reaching others, the commission he's given us is not to run a marathon under 2 hours, but is to make disciples all over this world and to usher in the return of Jesus Christ. And so let me read to you from Matthew 28. All authority, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this is the commission that still stands for us. If ever there's a question as to whether or not the words Jesus speaks to his disciples are relevant to us today. Sometimes there's this sense of, well, that was for then, not for now. Well, Jesus says, go and teach them to obey everything that I have taught you. What has he just told them in the previous sentence? Go and make disciples. So that's the nature of the mission of God. It's one generation after another, and each generation is to make more disciples who then go and make more disciples. And that's how you and I are here today, because there's an unbroken chain between those first disciples and us here today. At some point, everybody passed on the gospel and saw a disciple form. And that's our commission from Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest that we We're called to do this together. If we go to the next slide, please. Thanks, Sam. What we've been talking about for the last sessions has been being missional people. But Jesus never sends people on their own. In that Luke 10 passage, he sends them two by two into the villages. If you read the Gospels, he never sends anybody alone. He even sends two people to go and fetch a donkey. And it's never alone. It's always together. And that's why he formed the church. Church is the plural of disciple. When there's more than one disciple gathered together, that's when the church starts to form. And so he forms the church in order to be his mission team with this entrustment. And that Matthew 28 passage is all about the church. It's about teaching the faith. It's about baptizing new believers. It's about making disciples. So it's about forming churches that will carry on that commission. And when we're missional people, then we begin to see God connect us with people and people open up to Jesus. But we're always doing it on mission together. And so we need missional church. And when you get missional people and missional church, that's when you get missional movement. We begin to see breakthrough and new things form and God begin to reach into new communities. That movement, in my opinion, only happens when you get both. And the challenge for us is, if we go back to that bridge picture, is that the form of church that we're living in was formed in a time of Christendom for a certain purpose. And we're now in a time that is a complete missionary situation. And those patterns do not always serve the mission that we're in. And so as a bishop said to me last week, we are being invited by the Holy Spirit to be ecclesiologists together. And what he means by that is we get to work out together as the people of God what the church needs to look like. So remember I said that Christology, Jesus comes first, then the mission, we say yes to that vision of mission, and that's the missiology. And then the ecclesiology, the understanding of church is what that word means, comes following that in that the church is shaped to fulfill the mission that reflects the glory of Jesus Christ. And we're not fit for purpose currently. No condemnation again, but we're being invited into this the work of the Spirit in reforming and seeing the church emerge into what it needs to look like for the mission that God has called us to. And so another slide that just expresses this, what we've been talking about, is we've been talking about go. First night, we're being sent by Jesus Christ. We've been talking all the way through this time about love. This isn't a sales sort of campaign. This is about loving people, loving God, loving one another, loving the lost. And so we have the Great Commission that we've read. We have the Great Commandment to love God and to love our neighbor. And then we are to do that together, which is in collaboration. That Jesus gives us a new commandment that we love one another and that by the love we have for one another, people will know that we belong to him. So we're to do it together. And it's when all of these three come together that we have Jesus' mission. And we are formed together as churches, but the challenge is often that we've lost the commission that we've been talking about. We've lost the love for people outside the church. And we're to be together in this. So that actually we can spur each other on. And the question that I think I want to ask as the first challenge is does your belonging to the church enable you and equip you and empower you for the mission that you're called to? And I know it's a mix that you really are prioritizing that in terms of being the good news and sharing the good news and just things people have been talking about relating today with where you are tomorrow on Monday morning and all those things. They're all key parts of shaping a culture that says it's not just about coming into a building, but it's about equipping people for the mission that we're called to. But when we gather in our prayer groups, in our small groups, in our in church, what in the content of that is equipping you and spurring you on for mission? What are you doing together for to say, let's go and try and break the 2-hour barrier What are you dreaming about? What are you saying? What could we do that would see a new group of people reach for Jesus Christ? Where's the vision birthing out of your conversations and prayer? Where is the challenge? One of the things that happened for us in Holy Trinity was that we gave permission to each other to hold each other accountable on our call to be witnesses. So that when we met together, we asked each other, how's it going? And how did it go with that? Because we were sharing what we were doing. How did it go with that? And who shared their testimony recently? Who's offered to pray recently? Who's told something of the gospel to somebody recently? Who's done this together? And we give each other permission for that because we know that we're not doing that to condemn one another. We know because we need that from one another. We're a gift to one another to keep each other going. That's the picture of Kipchoge, is that those other 35 runners kept him going through being in a team. And through one another, we keep each other alive in that fire of mission. We're a gift to one another. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you're God's gift to me. I get to see all of you do this, and some of you going, oh, that's lovely, and yeah, I really love that, and isn't that nice? And some of you going, I need to think more carefully where I sit next time. But that's why God put us together. And the challenge is, can we become those communities that spur each other on? Well, one of the other things that we do at Holy Trinity just relentlessly is we just tell the stories of what God is doing. We have a little motto where we say, we don't try to focus on what God isn't doing. All those disappointments about things that, you know, that don't happen. We know that. We know it's tough. We know there's a mystery. We know everything doesn't go right and people don't get healed and we get things wrong and things don't work out. But what we love to do is just tell the stories when Jesus is at work, because that reveals who he is. And testimony really releases faith. So we're going to do that together now, and I'd love you to come and just share a little just feedback on the text stories that you sent. And this doesn't have to be brilliant, you know, I'm not expecting anybody to have sort of wept and come to Jesus as they read your text, okay? That's not the point. You're building relationship with people. But if you get a little response where somebody said thank you, then that's what I want to hear. Or if there's a little something more where it feels almost like they shared a bit more than they would normally, or they connect with the spiritual, but anything like that, then I'd love you just to come up the front and just share that. So those, the two testimonies about just praying, just shows that it's the Lord that does this, but we get to join in. And so wasn't that encouraging?
Yes.
And you encouraged each other just by having a vision, doing something, and then sharing testimony. And if it didn't go well, then don't worry, it's not you. It really is just a sense of where that person's at or whatever's going on for them at the moment. But we then get to be together with one another. We share those stories. If we imagine we're in a prayer group or a small group, and we're saying, this is what my friend sent back, my brother sent back. Let's pray together for them. And suddenly we're on mission together, and then we're asking each other, how's that going? And we're feeling like we're joining in with what God's doing. And it transforms the dynamic of where we're at. Now I'm going to put a slide on that's quite challenging. Because this is the movement that we're moving from. And I always wrestle with this slide because it's quite challenging. And sometimes I've called the left-hand column maintenance church, because pastoral is a good thing. But I now call it pastoral church because the church on the left is a really good church. It's not a bad church, it's a really good church. Loving God and loving one another, really good. But it's been formed in Christendom, and this is what it looks like. It's congregationally focused, because you love one another, you care for one another. Sunday, it's all about Sunday. That's when church happens. It's about how many people can we get in the building, because that shows us how big our church is and we want to grow because we want more people to know Jesus. We have good fellowship groups. Our aim is to keep people. It's a good aim. Leaders are about rule keepers. We're going to set patterns and processes and that's going to keep us safe. Prayer is about needs. If you want to get prayed in this church, you have a need. People fulfill the program with the church. The church leaders set the program and we will help. It's neat and tidy. It's fairly static and finances are for maintenance. It's a really good church. Let me tell you, that is a good church. But I don't think it's what the church is meant to look like. So on the right, the missional church is about kingdom expansion. You're going to see the gospel proclaimed and people come to know Jesus in new places. Sunday is not all about Sunday, but Sunday is about the launch pad into that mission. Our capacity that we're wanting to build is ascending capacity. My illustration is we're not meant to be a bank where we keep all the riches safe in the vault. We're meant to be a postal sorting office where people come in and then they're sent to the places that God's calling them to do the work he's calling them to. Groups come around mission. The aim is to release. Leaders are risk takers. Prayer is battle focused. We haven't done anything about that. There's massive spiritual battle in all of this. And we have to train people to actually win spiritual battles, not just have their needs prayed for. Program equips people. It's incredibly messy, as I shared about Holy Trinity. There's a lot of movement, and we invest finance in mission. That's what the church around the world looks like. I have the privilege to go all over the world, and I'm connected with three mission agencies in India. I've been to India a couple of times and going to various places where they're planting churches. And those together, those mission agencies, plant an average of 30 churches a day. 30 churches a day. And that's because one church forms, sees people come to know Jesus, releases an evangelist, a missionary, somebody to go and share the gospel in the next village. They go and share it in the next village. A new church forms. The first church helps the new church form. And then that church then releases another missionary to go into the next village. And it's that intentional. And in the UK, what we do is we do all the stuff on the left really well. And as I said, it's really, really good. But the challenge is that we don't have the conversations in amongst us that that go like this, which is, who are we going to reach next? Where are we going to form a new community next? Where can we take the gospel to next? Who's going to go? Who do we need to raise up? These are the questions that a missional church has, because they want to send, they want to see. And if we skip the next slide and go on one more, please. My focus is on new communities, but the reason for that is that new communities release new leaders. Because within a church that's established, there's often no space for people to express what's in them, because actually it's fairly structured and people are in those positions already, but there's new opportunity as God calls new communities into being. They form on the basis of mission, so we don't form anymore on the basis of just friendship and pastoral need or reading scripture together. We form on a missionary call, and then we do all of the pastoring and the discipling and reading scripture and praying in the context of mission. New communities form new forms of church because we form church on the basis of the mission. Ecclesiology follows missiology to shape it, to reach the people that we're trying to reach. It looks so different in different places. One of my favourite churches is it has a break every 15 minutes. It's on incredibly poor council estate, and everybody goes out for a fag break. Because that's the people they're reaching. You can't have more than 15 minutes in a row, so it's all magazine format, because that's what church used to look like. You reach new people with new forms of church. You develop new forms of church, so you plant in a fresh way. You're not trying to just reproduce what's already there. And then you reach new people and you reach younger people. And I don't know what God's going to call St. Nick's to, but my encouragement to you is that if you start to have these kind of conversations, it won't be the leadership telling everybody we're now going to do this. It will be you going to the leadership going, I've just got a burning passion to reach these people. So I'll tell you a couple of stories. One is from friend of mine called Wale. He was an intern with me and Holy Trinity Leicester. He came to the end of that internship, aged 22. And I just had this sense that he should go and plant a church. I said to Wale, I said, I think God's calling you to plant a church. He said, somebody else just said that to me yesterday. I think this must be God. So we then said to Wale, what do you want to do? He goes to reach people. He's from a Nigerian background. He wants to reach young African vein community in the middle of Leicester. And so we say to the church, who wants to go with Wale? And so 10 people go with Wale. He plants a new church called Imprint. He grows that as a lay person. He lives by faith. We support some finances. Other people give him some finances. And 18 months later, he has 150 people in his church. He's not ordained. He's had 1 year of training in our internship program. He then plants into London from Leicester. Not allowed to do that in the Church of England. He plants a new church in London because lots of the students he's reached have gone back to London. They now have a church of 200 in London, and together they're going to plant into Manchester. One person, ordinary church member, never trained, has birthed two churches, reached hundreds of people with the gospel who wouldn't otherwise be in church. My friend Liz, who is a maths teacher in the Loughborough Further Education College, felt called to go and live on an estate. She's the only Christian she knows on that estate, and she now knows, so she's got a map of all the houses of the people that she now knows, people that she's helped their kids not be in county lines gangs, people who've been, women who've been saved out of prostitution, people that she's just loved. She's formed a community shop on that estate, and she's just an ordinary member of Holy Trinity Leicester congregation. She wasn't told to do that, but God put that on her heart, and we're just gathering a team around her, and a church is forming there. That's what happens when we do it together. That's what the potential of us is. And it comes out of that vision, it's out of that missional people, and then it becomes missional church. So I have an amazing video that I wanted to play you as a final thing to leave you with, but we're at 11 o'clock. So what I'm going to suggest is that I pray for us. You go and get coffee. If you want to just have coffee, have coffee. But if you'd like to watch this video, come back at 15:15. So let me pray. Lord, you are the Lord of your church. It's your church. We're so grateful to be part of it and for your invitation to follow you. And I thank you for the potential in each person here because of your Holy Spirit's residence in them and because they know the gospel. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead St. Nick's forward together for them to discover new ways of sharing the gospel, not just personally, but together, and that they would really begin to see how they can be a people on mission with you, Jesus, together. So I pray your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.